We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Thank you and greetings, my friends. The subject of divorce is one that is most serious indeed. It seems that many homes have been battlegrounds before the battle in court. One joke goes that a dejected husband was brought into court by his wife. The judge declared, "The testimony shows that you threw a bottle at your wife." The husband replied, "Yes, Your Honor, it shows more than that. It shows that I hit her, too." This would be humorous, indeed, if it were not so realistically and tragically true. An editorial in the National Observer, March 11, 1972, revealed some interesting and most regretful information concerning husband and wife relationships. We are told today that one of the most hushed-up crimes in America is the war of the spouses. It's serious enough to have caused police departments across the land to create special programs for dealing with it. The National Institute of Law Enforcement and Criminal Justice says that, quote, "Family disturbances cause 40% of the police time lost through line-of-duty casualties. Marital squabbles account for more line-of-duty deaths than any other police activity, according to some studies." In the Challenge of Crime in a Free Society, published 1967, the President's Crime Commission revealed that 31% of all reported aggravated assaults resulted from family squabbles, that a great number of those incidents involved husband and wife, and that the mates were apt to hurt each other more seriously than criminals were when attacking total strangers. The latest edition of the FBI Crime in the United States Uniform Crime Report lists 329,940 aggravated assaults in 1970, most of which involved husband-wife battles. It also says that more than 1,900 people killed their spouses that year. That's one-eighth of all murders and one-half of the intrafamily murders. The National Observer reported that sociologist Howard Eugenle of the University of Wisconsin is analyzing results of a national poll that concludes that 25% of American adults actually approve husband-wife slapping around. He suspects the approval rate actually is higher, but the people won't admit it. Dr. Erlinger adds the comment that most people might find a little difficult to believe. He says, "The greater the educational level, the greater the rate of acceptance of domestic violence. 32% of the postgraduates and 30% of college graduates thinks it's okay. Just 17% of the grade school graduates think so." Isn't that amazing? The more educated our people become, the more they are disposed to approve an unhappy, frustrated war battlefield home. The concept of marriage and home has become so distorted and perverted by so many thousands of people, it is little wonder that thousands of young people have turned to drugs, alcohol, and violence. What a shameful and disgraceful example the home affords in so many cases. Some of the husband and wife battles seem almost unbelievable. One special police officer reports some of the cases he has been called upon to intervene. He says, and I quote, "One drunk had torn a bed and the kindling barehanded and was heaving pieces of bed and pop bottles at his wife," end quote. The officer reported another case where he responded to a call from a terrified wife who said her husband was threatening to soak her in gasoline and ignite it. After a time, the officer says, the husband confessed that the lyingest woman from the world's lyingest family had been truthful about the threat, end quote. Another police officer reported, for example, one evening, a well-known minister walked into the station bleeding from the head. He wanted his wife arrested. He said they were discussing personal matters when she clubbed him with a rather full beer can. What a shameful, disgraceful example of a religious home. The officer continued, people, husband and wives that is, use any handy weapons, you know, ashtrays, telephones, butcher knives, but very frequently, beer cans are the weapons of assault, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? I say to you that such types of homes are a detriment to our society. You may talk about juvenile delinquents, crime and immorality, but just remember one thing. They are homegrown. Our homes in America are the cradle of our society. What our homes are is what our people will be. The Bible gives specific instructions concerning divorce and remarriage, so let us consider what the Bible says. God's attitude toward divorce is revealed in Malachi chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, when he said, therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth, for I hate putting away, saith Jehovah, the God of Israel. Moses allowed divorce under the Old Testament law because of the hardness of your hearts, the Bible says. But God never intended that man should put away his wife for every cause. Read Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 8. God joins man and woman, husband and wife, in marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one. You read that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And again, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her husband. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. And again, have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So they that are no more two, but one flesh. Matthew 19, 4 through 6. Man and woman are bound by the marriage contract as long as they live. For the woman that hath a husband is bound by the law to the husband while he liveth. But if the husband die, she is discharged from the law of the husband. Romans chapter 7, verse 2. Fornication is an exception to the rule. Question, does God sanction divorce and remarriage for every cause today under the New Testament law? The Bible answer is found in the words of Jesus. Listen, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And he that marrieth her when she is put away, committeth adultery. From this statement of the Lord, it is evident that one exception is allowed. Whosoever shall put away his wife, except for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. There is no question about remarriage, and shall marry another, Christ stated. The cause of fornication, therefore, does give the innocent party to the marriage the right for divorce and remarriage. Although fornication may be a cause for divorce, it does not necessarily demand divorce. The sin of fornication may be forgiven by God and the companion in marriage. Two primary factors will be involved in this matter, repentance and forgiveness. Repentance on the part of the guilty person, and forgiveness on the part of the innocent one and by God. We are certainly aware of the fact that many great men and women became great in spite of the handicaps of broken homes. We're also aware of the fact that separation and divorce, under certain circumstances, are a better choice of life and with the approval of God. Sometimes, it is better to make a life more heavenly here on earth than to live in hell on earth. Of course, it's a fearsome and awesome thing to even think of spending eternity in hell, whether happiness or unhappiness on earth. The inspired apostle gave some instructions concerning incompatibility between the Christian and the non-Christian husband and wife situation. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 15. The apostle concludes, But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God hath called us to peace. He furthermore stated, let not the wife depart from her husband, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 and 11. The separation for call stated in this text, approved by the inspired apostle, does not permit remarriage to another person. The apostle said, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. Death, obviously, breaks all human ties and contracts. Concerning death and marriage, Paul concludes, but if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Romans 7, verses 2 and 3. Love, my friends, is the foundation of marriage. In the beginning, God said of marriage that a man cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The word cleave in this text means glue. Love is the strongest marriage glue there is. Without love as the basis ingredient, marriage is often little more than a union of two persons for physical sexual relationships, which is not likely to be strong enough glue to weather the storms of life, and at least with any appreciable degree of happiness and success. On the other hand, marriage that is glued, bonded, by love, is prepared to have and to hold in sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, come what may, until death doth part. In fact, love and marriage, successful marriage, are inseparable. Marriage without love might be tolerable, but a successful, happy marriage must have as its secure foundation love. Usually broken homes because of divorce are the result of broken foundations. The basic foundation for the home is love. There is no foundation more solid, more enduring, more tolerant, and forgiving than love. Love emanates from God. Since God is the founder of the home, what could be more appropriate, more meaningful, and more purposeful than to say that home and love are inseparable as much as God and love are inseparable? Home without love is like love without God. The Apostle Paul equated love to marriage when he declared, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard of Christ and of the church. Nevertheless, do ye also severally love each other, his own wife, even as himself. And let the wife see that she fear her husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 33. As love is the basic foundation of the spiritual marriage between Christ and his church, love should be the firm and secure foundation upon which marriage rests. Love is a tie that binds two in one until death doth part. Love has so often been perverted, however. Love of self, rather than love of companion, may cause abuse, mistreatment, and certainly disgrace sometimes to a companion. Or, lust and romantic emotions, based primarily on sex appeal, may even be mistaken for love. This kind of love may get you married, but it is not the kind of glue to keep you married. Love that is genuine, true, and lasting is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is love that never dies. This is the kind of love that emanates from God, for God is love. The characteristics of true love are enumerated by the infired apostle as follows. And I say, are you listening? 1. Love suffereth long. No man or woman is perfect. Therefore, there is the need for patience for marriage to be successful, and love has that quality of patience and endurance. 2. Love is kind. Kindness, which includes not only courtesies, but thoughts and deeds which are helpful and useful. Many times after marriage, kindness becomes the forgotten virtue. Ladies and gentlemen, kindness always pays, but it pays most when you don't do it for pay. 3. Love envieth not. Love does not envy another because of success, abilities, or honor. A companion who may receive special honors brings joy and gladness to the companion who loves. The husband or wife who loves his companion is delighted and highly pleased when his partner in marriage is honored or recognized for any special reason. The envious person may cast shadows rather than sunshine. 4. Love vaunteth not itself. True love would rather boast of a companion than boast of self. The person who constantly uses himself as an example is hardly an example to others. 5. Love is not puffed up. Pride may become a serious stumbling block to a happy marriage. The companion who cannot say, I am sorry, forgive me, I was wrong, may ultimately contribute to a home calamity. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. 6. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. If good behavior, including courtesy, good manners, respect, and politeness before marriage, because of love, the same will be true after marriage, if true love. 7. Love seeketh not its own. A selfish person will find it difficult to please anybody but self. Even so, it would seem that some people are so selfish that it would be difficult to live with themselves. In such a case, it is difficult to maintain a happy, united home. 8. Love is not provoked. This characteristic of love is perhaps one of the most fundamental attributes which may contribute to a successful, happy marriage. Yet, it may be one of the most difficult. So often, we assume a strong attitude of retaliation. If you hurt me, I'll hurt you more. But love will not harbor bitterness because bitterness breeds hate, and hate and love are opposing attributes of character. It would be well to remember the words of the wise man of God, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Proverbs 15:1. 9. Love taketh no account of evil. Love does not constantly look for faults and freely dish out criticisms. Love does not keep a total of all faults with a daily reading of the account. True love forgives and forgets. 10. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. It would be unreasonable for a husband to rejoice in the mistakes of his wife, even so much that he would spread the news abroad to everybody who would listen. The nagging, fault-finding, constant fault-reminding is a good way to invite marital discord and even disaster. 11. Love rejoiceth with the truth. God is love. Truth is from God. Therefore, the home that honors God must have truth as its cornerstone. 12. Love beareth all things. Love is tolerant and patient. Very important characteristics of a successful marriage. 13. Love believeth all things. Suspicion, doubt, and distrust have often become the dregs in the cup of matrimonial poison. 14. Love hopeth all things. A home that is characterized by pessimism and gloom can never be a happy home. To live in expectation of better things of life is to create an atmosphere of joy and peace and hope. 15. Love endureth all things. The marriage that endures all the problems and difficulties of marital life must be based on love that endureth all things. You just don't give up, remembering that is always the sunshine after the storms and the clouds. My friends, hear me. Are you listening? The home that lasts is the home that is steadfast in love with all of its characteristics.